Welcome back. We are in conversation with Mr. Kumar Ketkar. In this section, we'd like to know more about Kumar Ketkar. Yep. Sir, Lok Satta was a big story.
Yeah.
Lok Satta was the most crucial part, yes. And I guess... Yeah.
Even Maharashtra Times was, but Lok Satta had different traction.
Yeah, different traction. There's so many things said about you, so many things happened. Yeah. It was also a very crucial period in Indian polity, I think, at that point in time. Sir, let's talk about Lok Satta. Sir, first and foremost, there's this huge rumor that Lok Satta, there was a lot of pressure from a lot of political parties, especially BJP and RSS at that point in time, to ouster you and so on and so forth. How true?
No, they may have tried and they did try. But I must be grateful to Mr. Vivek Goenka. He absolutely did not budge to any pressure. He knew I was extremely critical of RSS and the BJP in my Lok Satta's writings, but he did not ever tell me to tone down the campaign. It was not a campaign, tone down my line of thinking. He did not do that. That had a legacy. Vivek Goenka wanted me to join Lok Satta even before, when I was Maharashtra Times editor. I said, I cannot come because I'm chief editor of Maharashtra Times. I'm getting full freedom. And to be fair to Samir Jain and Vinit Jain, they also gave me full freedom. But there was a change. For the first time after I became editor of Maharashtra Times, Shiv Sena came to power. So Shiv Sena BJP, whom I considered as communal parties and narrow-minded parties, they came to power in Maharashtra. In 98, BJP came to power in Delhi. 99, BJP came to power in Delhi. I was still Maharashtra Times editor. That criticism of the BJP was known to Vivek Goenka when he invited me to join Lok Satta, and I became Lok Satta editor. So there is no question of RSS or BJP pressurizing proprietors to throw me out. They campaigned. They campaigned on the net because net came much later online, and therefore they campaigned, but they did not really succeed. And I resigned not because of that at all. I resigned because when I completed 65 years of age and there was a bypass done. So after that, I told Vivek Goenka, I better quit. And so I quit. Today also, Lok Satta is a leading paper with opinion making a strong position. And I endorse even today's Lok Satta. So there's no question of anybody pressurizing the management or the owners of throwing me out or bringing me in, because Vivek Goenka knew what my line was. And when I joined Lok Satta, 2002, BJP was in power. And actually, perhaps, I mean, this is not exactly relevant, but I must say, I was given the honor of Padma Shri by the BJP government under Vajpayee. And the telegram that I have still with me, I have preserved, is from Lal Krishna Advani. Now, it was despite my such strong criticism of RSS and BJP, Advani as Home Minister has probably endorsed or recommended my name. I don't know why. I still don't know why. But I must recognize that fact. And so between 2002 and 2004, it was BJP in power. In center.
Correct.
And in Maharashtra, there was a different government. So I was critical of the BJP throughout. And yet, I continued after 2004 when the Manmohan Singh government came.
Correct.
So actually, I can take a little small credit. Is that when everybody was saying Mrs. Gandhi will become Prime Minister, Sonia Gandhi will become Prime Minister, and Uma Bharti and Sushma Swaraj threatened if she come this do and that do. And I wrote a piece on the day of actual results when results had not come. That is on page 1 of Lok Satta. I did not put my line because it was dangerous to give that kind of upfront position. I said, even if Congress gets... or Congress-led front. It was Congress-led front, UPA. Even if UPA gets the majority, Sonia Gandhi will refuse to become Prime Minister and she will make Manmohan Singh. That is on the front page, photograph of Manmohan Singh published, and Manmohan Singh will be the PM. So I got a lot of, at that time, trolling and all thing was not there. At that time, many people said, what are you talking here? Firstly, Congress is not coming to power.
Can I then ask you a question? Was that inside information or was that guesstimation?
There was no question of inside information at all. I was in Mumbai. And nobody knew how many seats Congress will get.
Correct.
Because perhaps many people don't know, as I said earlier, many people thought that the BJP is going to win 350 seats. 350 seats was the projection of the opinion polls, journalists and the BJP itself. And they suddenly they came down to 137. And that's how Congress-led party came to. So where is the question of having inside information, nobody knew what was going on.
Under your leadership, Lok Satta was a newspaper which was very against Shiv Sena especially, and BJP. Because at that point in time, Shiv Sena was more popular and powerful in Maharashtra politics. So, do you think that was fair?
No, I won't think that any editorial guideline of that kind was issued. The editors they had appointed did not go with the Shiv Sena or BJP communal line. Because Lok Satta and Indian Express group were sort of...
Editors you appointed, because you were the editor at that point in time.
I was the editor.
Yeah.
And they had appointed me. Uh-huh. So other colleagues, not I appointed, they were there before me.
Okay.
And so it was not as if by looking at the position of Shiv Sena or BJP, the paper's appointments were decided. Editor took a call. Now, many editors sometimes did not take a call. But I took a call saying that this is my position. And when people started complaining, people, meaning some readers who were sympathetic to Shiv Sena and BJP, and same thing in Maharashtra Times, I said, well, you have all the other 96 columns with you, 94 columns with you. I am using only two columns, that is my editorial. And that must have an opinion. I cannot say on the one hand this is correct, on the other hand that is also correct. I cannot say that. I am a one-handed editor and I will say this is correct. You can differ. I will publish every single letter that questions my position in properly, in appropriate manner. I will publish. And I publish all critical letters to me.
One more question on this regard. The editorial is the point of view of the newspaper.
Yeah.
That is given. So when I read the editorial, I assume this is the point of view of the newspaper. So normally at that point in time, a lot of cultures were built on newspapers. There was a statesman culture, there was a Hindu culture, as an Hindu newspaper culture, there was a Times of India culture, and there was an Indian Express culture, and so on and so forth. So there were cultures built on editorials, and it was all built on editorials. Don't you think that you helped to build a culture which was very anti-Shiv Sena? I'm saying Shiv Sena, I will not talk BJP at that point in time, because again, a lot of articles that I've been going through has been anti-Shiv Sena. Don't you think that you did build an anti-Shiv Sena culture through your...
I won't say I built anti-Shiv Sena. I built independence. During first phase of Mrs. Gandhi, Indian Express campaigned against Mrs. Indira Gandhi. Later on, they also campaigned against Rajiv Gandhi. It was known as a campaign paper. They promoted Janata Party. But at the same time, Ramnath Goenka was a maverick. Is a fantastic maverick. He also opposed them. So Ramnath Goenka converted, not just being editor or editorial, but editor must have a viewpoint.
Do you think that at some point in time, retrospect, do you think it was unfair that you never gave Shiv Sena a chance? Possibly a lot of things you wrote, a lot of people must have converted to the anti-Shiv Sena point of view because of Lok Satta.
Well, I would not say that, because I am actually sort of continued the trend of editorial freedom.
They're talking about your clear views. There was this Brahmin conference in Parbhani where you attended. And you made statements like you are not proud of being a Brahmin, or I don't know whether you said you are ashamed to be a Brahmin or proud of being a Brahmin. You also make statement that, you know, anybody who teaches and learns is a Brahmin, and therefore Prophet Muhammad is a Brahmin, therefore Lord Jesus Christ is a Brahmin,
and Einstein
is a Brahmin, and so on and so forth. Dr. Ambedkar is a Brahmin, and so on and so forth. So you said, and that had huge repercussions.
Yeah, huge.
Sir, weren't you provoking?
I didn't think, because my speech was printed and distributed before. It was given to the organizers also. And actually, I did not question their presence. Actually, a person of my ideological perception should not be going to that conference in the first place. But I was supposed to inaugurate. So I told them, look, my views are different. I am not proud to be a Brahmin. But you have gathered Brahmin people, fine enough. But then I must tell them that the definition of Brahmin is the one who pursues knowledge. Because at that time, Brahman as a caste was not there. In fact, you will perhaps know, all the Vishwamitras and Valmikis, they are not Brahmins.
Brahmins, absolutely.
None of them is a Brahmin.
Correct.
So they are people of knowledge, people of wisdom. So I am following that. So I will not defend being Brahman or Brahminism. In fact, I will say Brahminism is a caste hierarchy, has created damage to society. And for me, anybody who is pursuing knowledge or pursuing good of the society or civilization is a Brahmin. Like Einstein is a Brahmin. And Ambedkar is a Brahmin. That did not go long.
Going to a Brahmin conference where there are, I think,
telling them that
there were around 30,000 people gathered in that conference.
I am sitting in front of you alive today, thanks to the luck, though I don't believe in destiny. Because me and my colleague was with me, both of us would have been burnt alive because they came with petrol and kerosene.
But sir, the media says, and now I'm using the typical journalistic language, people say that, you know, you were provoking it because you wanted to.
No, I did not even think I was provoking. I thought I was educating them. I was educating the liberals among the Brahmins that you must give up your being proud to be Brahmin. I thought I am trying to convince them. But then I realized that the fanatics in the meeting did not want, because they realized that the message is going towards liberal Brahmins to overcome their Brahmin as a caste and look at the society in general. So they realized that it is making an impact because it was printed, the speech was printed in advance.
Sir, so you are saying you're actually trying to say that, you know, 30,000 people
frankly
have converted?
Frankly speaking, I was so foolish, I must say, that I thought I'll be able to convince, because this is such a non-violent and simple line, that all of us who consider themselves Brahmin should be pursuing knowledge. If you are a Brahmin, don't be. Brahmin cannot be by caste. Brahmin has to follow knowledge.
Now, the fact that you said I'm not proud to be a Brahmin was the clincher, I guess. That is what
the last clincher. Or, you know, all this Ambedkar Brahmin and
stuff. Possible. But, you know, I have been speaking to a few people who were there in that before and the thing is, yeah, it was the actual thing started when you said that you are not proud to be a Brahmin,
yeah,
though you are a Brahmin.
Yeah,
that's the way you started. I think that was the clincher. So, sir, by all means, when you go to a party and say that, you know what, I am not proud to be here, it is good to cause problem. Weren't you aware of that?
Problem, I thought, but not the kind of violence it generated, I did not imagine.
Correct.
Definitely problem was, and if you say raising that in that fashion is a provocation, then I was aware that I was provoking, but I was not provoking for the sake of provocation or some kind of inbuilt violence.
What was the net result that you are expecting after that such a huge provocation?
I thought they will say, yes, there is a point of view. Because why did they invite me in the first place? When I told them, if you are inviting me, you are creating a... I told them in so many words, you are creating a problem for yourself by inviting me. Because I will be saying unpalatable things. They said, no, but we must promote unpalatable thought also. Because Brahmins are... You know, they also did not realize that.
It will be. Sir, another incident where again... But of course, you put your point of view on Shivaji's statue and there was... Your house was attacked. You put your family at risk.
I would have been killed at that day also.
Yeah.
Certainly in Parbhani, I would have been killed.
But sir, why this? Why did I do this?
I did not do it. You know, Shivaji Maharaj statue and they immediately sanctioned 100 crore rupees. So actually, if you read that edit today, you will feel it is most vegetarian and non-violent edit. What I said was, since all the problems of Maharashtra have been solved, now there is no drought, there is no flood, all farmers are getting their good due, all students are learning, Maharashtra is on the top of the world, and therefore the only problem that has not been tackled is creation of that inspirer, Shivaji Maharaj statue in ocean. So that, I mean, this is a very simple way of putting that sarcasm, but that sarcasm was very, very biting. And so they used it against me for completely different political reasons, and they attacked my house. They attacked my house because thanks to my wife, both of us are alive. Because unfortunately what happened, I generally don't lock the front door. People come to meet me as a journalist. And that day also the door was open. And when this gang came for 70, 80 people with, you know, all kind of cycle chains and everything, my wife also didn't understand. Though there was a phone call of warning, which I had not taken in the morning. So, the moment they came, my wife locked the door. So, they started attacking the door to break open the door. And so, my wife did not open the door. They started shouting, sloganeering. And when the door could not be opened, they could not actually break open the door. They started stoning. So from all over, the windows were completely broken, shattered glasses and all. And then they poured tar in the house. My house was in, you know, multiple glass pieces for next 1 month.
It was discussed in the parliament also.
Yeah, it was discussed in parliament. It was discussed by the entire media, from BBC, CNN, everybody interviewed me.
Is it because the way you say it?
Maybe.
Maybe because of the sarcasm or the bite that you put in it.
Yeah, piercing.
Correct.
Point. That is
correct. Media editors now are seen as spokesperson of parties. So when you look at a media, when you look at a newspaper, when you look at a television channel especially, when you look at a television channel, also newspapers, you know that this is a BJP newspaper, this is a Congress newspaper, this is a so-and-so person, ye inka aadmi hai, unka aadmi hai. Sir, where is media going to?
Horrible. The way people are projecting themselves, and it is not a worldview, it is a party line that they are pursuing.
Correct.
And party line particularly which is in power, to pursue that means you are actually trying to influence the people. It becomes a propaganda channel, not a news channel. You may call it news hour, you may call it anything, but actually it is a propaganda hour.
With this, we end this segment. We come to the last segment of the show, which is we would like to know more about Mr. Ketkar's political views on individuals and parties. We'll be right back.